through the actual portion of scripture that he's going to be preaching from this morning. So if you have a Bible with you, I'd ask that you turn to the first chapter of Jonah. I will be utilizing the NIV, so if you have an NIV, use that. If not, whatever you have is good. Just follow along as we read here. So as I read aloud here, just read along with me, and we'll see how the Lord leads from that. And it says, starting in verse 1, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went and boarded and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he'd laid down, and he had fallen into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worshipped the Lord, the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you have pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Jonah's prayer. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2, verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and he said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land.
Series entitled Dot to Dot. And so we've done that, right? We know the dot to dot. And this morning's message is entitled, "It's Not a Spot, It's a Dot." And I really believe this. And when I believe it, I'll tell you. And when I don't, I won't. But I believe that this is the Word of God for the people of God at Northway Community Church. And so I believe this is a message from the Lord for us. And so I want us to begin to look at what it means to have dot to dot. So I'm going to give you the punchline, as long as you promise to listen to the rest of the sermon. So I'll give you the answer if you promise to listen to the rest of the sermon. And here's the punchline. Here's the conclusion of the sermon. A minute in. The dot is where you and God are right now. The dot is where you and God are right now. No forced adjustments, no excuses, no faking, no frills, women, no makeup, men, no sucking in the gut. Where we are, the first dot in the dot to dot is where we are right now with God. And God's with us. And so, church, I want us to know today, it's not a mistake. It's the start of something beautiful. See, it's not a spot. When you get a spot on your clothes, it's like, oh, it's a spot. No, it's not a spot. It's not a mistake. It's a dot. It's the beginning of something beautiful. And so I'm going to share something with you, and I have no idea if it's true. I could be making this up. So this is not the gospel. This is not the Bible. This is me clearly making something up. I think there is, this should, if this isn't true, it should be true. I think there's six levels to a masterpiece. And here's the first level is this idea of the full portrait, right? And so if you see a beautiful portrait and it's completed and it's beautiful and it has all of everything and all the details are all completed. And if you just take away the details, you have the whole portrait, but it's just all the bright colors without the detail. And so the first level would be the full portrait. The next level would be if you take away the detail, you just have the beautiful bright colors. And if you take away another level, you just have the black and white of the painting. If you take a little bit away from that, you have the pencil sketch. And I think if you take a little bit away from the pencil sketch, you have a bunch of dots. And if you take away all the dots, you have the beginning where the painter, the one creating the masterpiece, makes the first contact with the canvas. And that's the dot. And so if you go the other way, it's the dot, and then there's a bunch of dots, and then you connect the dots and you have the black and white sketch, and then you add the colors and you block it out, and then you add the bright colors, and then you add the details, and then you have the masterpiece. And so I wonder if that's how God does it. And so some people have the vision to see the masterpiece. Some have the ability to execute the masterpiece. Some have the ability to put the detail on the masterpiece. And some have the ability to do all three. But everyone, and listen to this, everyone who wants to be part of creating or cooperating or participating in a masterpiece must have one thing. You might not be able to execute it. You might not be able to be the person that has the detail. You might not be the person that has the vision that can envision the masterpiece. But if you want to cooperate and participate in a masterpiece, you must have desire. You have to have desire. You have to have a desire within you to see a masterpiece, to be a part of a masterpiece, to see it, to experience it, to pursue something beautiful. And that's true for everything. If you want to see a change in your life, if you want your life to be a masterpiece, you have to have a desire for it. If you want to have a masterpiece in your relationships and your marriage, you have to have a desire for it. It begins with a desire. A masterpiece begins with a desire. If you want a church that is a masterpiece, you have to have a desire for it. You have to have a desire. You have to have a beginning phase. And so today I show up with a family of five, and we have a story. Northway Community Church has a story. Everyone has a story. And Jonah has a story. And I believe that Jonah's story can teach us a lot about our story. It can teach us a lot about a masterpiece. And so Jonah is different than every other prophetic book in the Bible. The one thing that makes Jonah different than every other prophetic book in the Bible, there is no direct prophecy in Jonah. Simply, Jonah is a story about a prophet. It actually has nothing. There is no direct prophecy. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't prophesy anything in the book. It's just simply the prophecy, the message from God is Jonah's story. And see, some people believe that Jonah was just kind of a parable and kind of a made-up figure, an allegory. But we know in 2 Kings chapter 14 that Jonah's a real person. And this really happened. And so we see that God speaks to Jonah. And he tells Jonah, his prophet, his messenger, to go to Nineveh and share a message with the people of Nineveh. Now, this message can be taken two ways. It could be a message of hope, or it could be a message of judgment. And it just depends on what the people in Nineveh do with the message. If they receive the message and they turn away from their wicked ways, it's a message of hope. If they do not turn from their wicked ways, it's a message of judgment. He's just going to bring judgment on them. And so it depends on how the people of Nineveh receive the message. Now, what do we know about Nineveh? We know that Nineveh was about 500 miles away from where Jonah was. About 3 months' journey. And now Nineveh is the most evil empire of the day. It's really, they're kind of like the bullies in the region. They're not very nice to many people. They're mean to everybody. And the last place that Jonah wants to go is to the enemy, is to go to the opponent, the one that's a bully, the one that's not fair and nice to people. And so when Jonah figures out that this is where God wants him to go, he discerns that this is God's plan. We see, as David so well read, that he runs the opposite direction. So Nineveh is, I have no idea where we're going, but Nineveh is east. Let's say this is east. I don't know which way we are. I'm turned around. So let's just say Nineveh's east. Jonah says, I'm going west. I'm going as far away from what God wants me to do as I can. And so instead of going to Nineveh, he runs down to this seaport called Joppa. He runs to the ticket window and he asks for the next boat out to the farthest destination. He's trying to get as far away as he possibly can from the plan of God, where God wanted him to go. And he decides that he's going to go to Tarshish, which is a little fishing village on the coast of Spain. And instead of taking 3 months to go to Nineveh, it's going to take him a year and a half to travel the 2,000 miles to this small fishing village called Tarshish. Isn't that interesting? Very often, it's way more work. It takes way longer, and it takes way more time to disobey than it does to obey. Amen? You know, you think about that in your own life. When we choose to go our own way, it normally costs more money, it takes more time, and it takes us further away. And so Jonah illustrates this perfectly. So to disobey, to forge our own way, is more work, takes longer, and costs us more. But then if we obey and agree and cooperate. So why did Jonah run away? Like, why? Like, we all have this question. Why did he run away? And here's the thing. This is really anticlimactic. I don't even think it really matters. It doesn't really matter why he ran away. He ran away maybe because he knew God. He knew God was a forgiving, merciful, and gracious God. He knew that if he took this message to Nineveh, they were going to repent. They were going to turn around. And they were the bad guys. He didn't want God to love them and forgive them and be gracious to them. And he knew God. And he said, listen, if I take this good God-filled message to these rotten people, they're going to turn. And they're going to have good days, better days than they're having now. And we want them to have bad days. Because only good people should have good things happen to them, right? But God is a God who forgives good people and bad people. Grace is unmerited favor. And so maybe that's why he ran away, because Jonah knew that God was going to love these people. He was going to make the ugliest things beautiful, not just for the good guys, but for the bad guys. But what I want to illustrate more than why he ran away is what is he doing is much more easy to understand. Why he's running away, I'm not sure. But what he's doing when he's running away is much easier to explain. What is he doing? He's fleeing the opportunity. He's fleeing ministry. He's in rebellion. He's a strong-willed man in a power struggle with God. How's that normally turn out? Right? Doesn't turn out very well. Right? And so he's a strong-willed man. He's in rebellion. And so you and I don't know you very well. You don't know me very well. But let me just self-disclose here a little bit. Sometimes I can be rebellious. Sometimes I can forge my own way. Sometimes I can think that I know better than God. He didn't want to cooperate. He didn't want to participate in what God wanted to unfold, the picture that God wanted to bring about for those people in Nineveh. What Jonah thought was a mistake. I'm not going to Nineveh. He's like, listen, this is an ugly spot. God said, no, 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 no. It's not a spot. It's a dot. It's not the mistake. This is exactly where I want to start. I have a message for these specific people. So it's not a mistake. It's not a spot. It's not a stain on your shirt. It's a dot. It's the beginning of something beautiful. And so God was committed. Listen to this, church. God was committed, even in Jonah's rebellion. God was committed not only to his plan, but he was committed to his people. And he was committed to going after Jonah in only a way that God can go after people. Amen. God has an interesting way of going after us. See, Psalm 139, verses 7 through 9, 7 through 10. Do we have that up there? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Well, I can read it back there. Look at this. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. You don't have to look back there. You can look up here. I'll look this way, you look that way. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. That's a God who knows you, who loves you, and is committed to you. He's committed to coming after you because he loves you, because he has a masterpiece that he wants to make in and through you. See, this whole journey that we read in Jonah chapter 1, it was a calling, it was an opportunity, it was a mission, it was a blessing, it was God's masterpiece. It was about getting Jonah to discern and respect and acknowledge the dot, not as a spot. So the storm. I love there's in the translations, and again, it gets a little wonky because there's different translations and different words that are translated different ways. But basically, the Hebrew word here is manna. But that sounds a little familiar, right? The provision, the providing, the protection. And several times in this passage, God provides. God protects. God prepares something. The first thing that God provides and presents is the wind, is the storm. This is God's plan to rescue. That's a key word. This is God's plan to rescue Jonah. And so he provides, he prepares this violent storm. What Jonah thought was a punishment was actually an intervention. Now, come on, church. How often do we look at God and we say, God, why are you punishing me? Why are you letting this stuff happen to me? Why is this happening, God? And we're looking at it as a punishment. When it actually is part of the intervention, it's part of the rescue. The violent storm was the intervention. It wasn't the punishment. And so we see the story, right? The ship starts to break apart and they begin to throw things overboard and everyone's searching for answers and they're calling out to every god they know. And then they cast lots and they're asking Jonah a million questions, prompted by fear. And then they begin to paddle their own strength to remedy the situation. And all the while, what's Jonah doing? Cat is sleeping. He's just straight out sleeping. These people are about to lose their life. They're losing all their valuable cargo. And this cat is sleeping. He doesn't even care because he envisioned it as a spot and not a dot. And so Jonah's checked out. See, the first time he checked out by running, now he's checking out by sleeping. How do you and I check out from God's best? When we know that God wants to bring about a beginning, a masterpiece in our life, and we disagree with God, how do we check out? Some of us do fall into a depression, a depressive sleep. But I would say more than a depressive sleep, become incessantly busy. See, if I can just fill up my calendar, if I can just get busy, I don't have to pay attention to what God wants. If I can just say, listen, you know what? Calendar's full. I don't have to go to dinner. It isn't. It is going to be sleeping and not functioning. Some of us, we're incessantly busy. We can't shut down our over-occupied minds. And so in turn, even God can't get our attention until what? Until a crisis, right? And so then when things start falling apart, when we have a crisis, now he has our attention. And now we're all desperate. And God says, that's fine. I can do desperate. And you know, as David read, the interrogation, and then Jonah confesses to being the reason for the mess, and he's thrown overboard. But God's not done preparing and providing and protecting Jonah. He prepared the storm, and now he's preparing the whale, the fish. So when Jonah's thrown overboard, God had a plan for that, because it's part of the rescue. It's not the punishment, it's the intervention. God is preparing, God is providing. God is into dots. The Lord provided, he prepared the great fish. God sends protection and provision even when you and I are pointed in the wrong direction. And that's not just true for the first three or four rows. That's true for the sound booth too. That's true for the people that are driving on our major intersection right here. See, they might not be in church this morning, but God's providing for them. He's making provision. It might include this church at some point in the future. There's provision. There's protection. There's preparation being made. Even when we're facing the wrong direction. And the protection and the provision and the preparation just might be long enough, might just be hard enough, might just be miserable enough, might just be uncomfortable enough for us to reconsider the spot and realize it's a dot. Amen? Oh, you need to talk to me. This is interactive. This is not a passive audience. You need to talk to me. Help me. Church, we need to go with God because he's doing something beautiful. Something beautiful is coming. Something beautiful is being developed. See, this story is more than just about a fish and vomit. This story is about dot to dot. It's about grace and mercy. Jonah longed to be at a different spot, right? That's not where he wanted to be. He didn't want to be in Nineveh. He wanted to be in Joppa or Tarshish. So Jonah longed to be in a different spot. But once he respected and acknowledged the dot, the picture and the plan came into focus and fruition. See, this story is a story of God's love and compassion that a reluctant prophet begins to agree to connect the dots to bring about God's picture. It's not just true for Jonah, friends. It's true for you. It's true for me. Every one of us has a dot. From Gavin, who's 10, to whoever is the most mature among us. You are a masterpiece. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. You may be here and you may be skeptical. You may not even know Jesus. You may not be buying what we're selling. Or you may have been a believer for 60, 70 years. You are a masterpiece. You were designed by God first and foremost to be in relationship with him. And then you were designed by God to cooperate and participate in what he is doing and who he desires you to be. If you want to write something down, write this down. God's doing and God's not done. God's doing and God's not done. However, we can run, we can deny, we can step out of relationship with him, and we lose. We lose when we step out of relationship. We lose when we run. We lose when we deny. We see that in so many ways, Jonah went down. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the bottom of the ship. He went down into a depressive sleep. He went down into the sea. Chapter 2, something beautiful happen. And it can happen here today too. The first thing that happens is for the very first time in a very long time, Jonah takes a step. It says, inside the belly of the whale, inside the belly of the great fish, Jonah prayed. See, everybody else was praying on the ship. Jonah was sleeping. Jonah was being talked to by God, but Jonah was not talking to God. It had been a long time since Jonah actually talked to God. But if you look with me in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, from inside the fish, see, that we get stuck right there. Like, that's pretty cool. Anybody been inside a fish? See, the most impressive words in that verse are not from inside the fish. The most impressive words in this verse are Jonah prayed. See, he had been running from God. He had been running away from the dot. And finally, he's realizing it's not a spot. It's not a mistake. This is a beginning. This is a dot. And he begins to cry out to God. He begins to realize that he's not alone, that no matter where he's at, even inside the belly of a whale, God is there. God is with us. And our prayers have a way of showing us ourselves. We've all been there. Maybe a few of us are there today where we're somewhere or we're someone that has to give. Something has to give. Someone has to give. There's nowhere to go but honest. You ever been there? You ever been there where there's nowhere else to go but honest? I mean, you can keep lying, but there comes a point when you just have to give up the game. You come to a point and you're saying, I got nowhere else to go. I'm on the dead end of honest. Because it's just you and God. Who are you going to keep lying to? You're going to lie to yourself. I mean, you've done lied to everybody else. You've done faked it long enough. It's just honest now. And that's where Jonah was. He's inside the whale. There ain't nowhere to lie to. There ain't nowhere else to run. It's just here, now, inside, slimy, smelly. And he takes a step to God. And I wonder if you're like me, that when you get at the dead end of honest, there's a measure of relief. It's like, whew, I don't got to run anymore. I don't got to lie anymore. It's just me, honest. Gut let out, makeup off, excuses done, frills forgotten. That very thing that I had ignored and neglected for so long that has brought about this crisis, now I'm able to deal with. And it's so cool what Jonah says in these verses of chapter 2. And I just want to read some of them to you. It says, in distress I called, and you answered me. I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me in. All your waves and breakers swept over me. See, now he's starting to make the connection. The storm wasn't just a storm. It was God's intervention. He called it. You listened to me. You hurled me in. All your waves, he's allowing God to own the waves. He understands that this intervention was not just a happenstance. This was God. All your waves and breakers swept over me. Banished me from your sight. But he says, I will look again towards your temple. Thank you for a second chance, is what he's saying. I've been banished. I left. But now you're giving me another chance. I will look again to your temple. You brought my life up from the pit. Oh, Lord, my God, my life was ebbing away. I remembered you, Lord. My prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. With a song of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Church, I want you to know that God loves to draw beauty from impossible beginnings. He wants to make a masterpiece. Jonah's story shows us that he wants to do. But what I want you to understand as we close, the masterpiece starts with a dot. And so we need to determine, where's the first dot of the masterpiece? How do we start this masterpiece? Where do we start? If the masterpiece starts with a dot, if this is the canvas, where do we start? Like, I don't know. I'd love there to be a masterpiece right here, but I don't know where it starts. And so we need to determine where it starts. And as I read over Jonah's story this week, I believe the masterpiece starts at a really crucial intersection. And in your worship folder, you have an intersection, and I want to share that with you, and it's going to be on the screen. I believe that the masterpiece starts at the intersection of proximity and intimacy. So how close do you feel to God? How close are you to God? Now you're saying, well, oh my goodness, my masterpiece is going to be really ugly because I'm not very close to God. No, don't get ahead of me here. You chart for you. If the top of that is a 5 to the positive,
And the bottom down here is a 5 to the negative. A negative 5 is saying, you know what? I don't know if I even have any faith in God anymore. I think I'm just done with God. Mark yourself down here. Here, down here. Honest. Again, because we're not faking anymore, right? We're done faking. If you're saying, listen, I've never been any closer to God, then you're at top of the plus 5. Now, here's the other thing. The other axis to find out where this first thought is on the clarity and understanding. How much do you understand about what God is doing? You know what? I have no clue what God is doing. I'm still heading to Joppa. I'm still ignoring God. I'm still running. That's fine. No faking. No frills. No makeup. No sucking it in. Let's just be honest. If that's you, then put it way over here to the negative 5, right? If you're saying, listen, I fully understand where God is at. I understand what God is doing. I want that to be the thought over there. And all you do, and I didn't bring my notebook, I did this for myself, is you basically make two dots and see where those connect.